Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's bring in from On the Forecheck co-managing editor Alex Daugherty. We'll talk about Game 6. Preds in Winnipeg Jets tonight up in Manitoba. Alex, what's going on?
Not much. How are y'all?
We're good. Why did the Predators, you think, got so far away from the Game 4 strategy that worked? Were they trying to clog everything up, play a little slower, and keep Winnipeg from getting rolling?
Well, I think it was working for about, 20 minutes or so. They just couldn't get anything by Hellebuck. I don't think that you can blame them for that. I don't think you can blame them for riding a little bit of momentum and then coming in front of that home crowd and thinking, you know what, if we gun it for a little bit and we get a couple goals by them, then maybe we can go ahead and close this out and make it a 3-2 series. But this is the nature of hockey. It is such a game built on luck. I know people don't want to hear that, but it just is. And when you don't get certain bounces, you have Kyle Turris hit a post, you have a couple pucks bounce just shy of guys who are wide open and have a chance to score. Hellebuck made the saves, there's no doubt about that, and the Jets pounced on their opportunities, but you just can't ignore the luck factor here. I mean, it's not something you can do. The Predators had a lot of luck going in last year's run. You can't deny that. And it's just so far not looking like the luck is on their side right now.
The team has been good in these spots, winning when they have to. Can they do it again tonight?
I think back to the last time they were in this situation in the Ducks. Well, not the last time. I mean, the last time was last year against the Penguins. But in 2016, when they were down 3-2 to the Ducks, and they had that chance to tie it up at home, and then they had to win Game 7 on the road. I don't like the idea of them having to go on the road to do it. But, the last road game that they had where they kind of clamped down and were able to play that effective road game, this is about the only way that they can do it is to have a very low scoring game, very physical, very grinded out. If they go in there and the Jets are running and gunning, the season's going to be over. It doesn't feel like they can keep up with that right now. They're going to have to make it a very low scoring where the goalies are battling each other. That's what it's going to have to be in order for the Predators to have a chance in Game 7.
Well, Alex, what did you think about Lavi's strategy to go back to Fiala and change up some of the other line?
I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, I really didn't question it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because I think of kind of what I think they were trying to do is they were trying to capitalize on that transition and jump on them with a bunch of skill and see if they could beat them there. The other thing is this, that Game 5 was a complete, utter mess. They had nothing went well. And so anybody who thinks that the solution was just Scott Hartnell in for Kevin Fiala didn't watch the game. I mean, it wasn't that simple. Scott Hartnell was not going to clean up all of those defensive issues, and Kevin Fiala wasn't causing all of the defensive issues. So it's oversimplifying what happened in that game to just say Scott Hartnell would have solved, this issue with Kevin Fiala. It's just not that way. I mean, the defense was atrocious. The centers were not owning the middle of the ice. The turnovers were piling up from all over the place, and it was just, it's not that easy of a solution. So I was fine with it. I thought it made perfect sense.
We've been talking about specifically Mark about the Preds seem emotionless after the game. Where's the state of the mental psyche of the team right now?
I having watched this team all season, I feel like there's kind of two different locker rooms. There's the positive sort of, no matter if it's a win or a loss, there's the positive locker room that really just knows the kind of game that they can play, knows who they are, they know who they are as a team, and they're just going to bounce back after it. And then there's the team that gets angry and is very visibly angry at themselves, like what we saw against the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier in the year, where that locker room was very mad at itself. They were not happy with themselves. I don't think that very angry at yourself works in the playoffs. I think you have to, you cannot stew and be just angry. I think you have to be positive. And I think that that PK Subban's attitude, I think, makes a lot of sense. And he's always been that way. I think if you go back to last year when they lost game six in against the Penguins and the season was over, PK was talking immediately about the next year and saying, we're going to battle back. We're going to be here next year. He was very positive. That's just how he is. And so I think that makes sense. And I think that's the only way for them to operate. Mm-hmm.
Alex, I agree with some of your stuff, disagree with others, but my getting to some of the central points, they were really bothered at the last 40 minutes by Winnipeg's forecheck. They had a, it's like you said, they were turning pucks over. Yeah, their luck wasn't good, but they made a lot of mistakes. Winnipeg scored five goals from the inner slot. But getting to the heart of it, Ellis and Josi have been, in my opinion, have been terrible in this series. Josi has no points. He's minus five. And I know plus minus doesn't always tell the story, but those two, for the most part, have been totally non-productive offensively. And I don't think they've played very well in the defensive end either.
No, they've been the worst pairing. They've been by far the worst defensive pairing in the playoffs. I mean, even Matt Irwin and earlier on Alexi Imelin, and then also Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber have been better defensively. Now they've been sheltered; they haven't been playing as many minutes. But Josi Ellis are getting some tough assignments, but these are assignments that they have to win. I mean, they are being tasked with going up against top lines. And in the playoffs last year, they were able to do it. But something has happened with that pairing that I don't think any of us really saw them being this bad. I think when I was on last time, I talked about Brian Ellis's decision making. He has not really made good decisions, and that's where his bread and butter is made is quality decision making. And Roman Josi just isn't skating as well as he normally does. When he carries the puck through the middle of the ice, when he's confident, he's one of the better defensemen in the league, and he's just not doing that right now. So I agree with you. It's probably the biggest problem right now with the Predators that I don't know how they fix.
The other problem is Kyle Turris has just really done. He has two assists in this series, but he really, when you're talking about number two centers, has really been a big zero in my opinion.
So people talk about Kyle Turris, and I don't disagree there. I think that's a big part of it. But what about Craig Smith?
It's been equally as bad.
I mean, as good as Kyle Turris was in the middle of the season, Craig Smith was one of the reasons, and so was Kevin Fiala. It's a line thing, and that's why. I mean, if I'm Laviolette, I look at that line and I say, you know what? Let's blow it up. Let's put Kyle Turris with Scott Hartnell. Let's put Kyle Turris with Nick Bonino. Who knows, do anything to try to disrupt something and put Craig Smith on the top line, put Victor Arvidsson somewhere else. Who knows what you can do, because that line is clearly not producing. Now I say all that and none of that's going to happen. that line is probably going to stay intact, but I think it's unfair to place it on one guy, but Kyle Turris needs to find the back of the net. I think he hit that post, and I think he's been frustrated all series, all playoffs, and he's got to get something going as well. Yeah,
I know every year is different, but to me, with the exception of Game Six against the Avalanche and Game Four in this series, this team to me, as talented as they are, haven't looked right. They've sort of won in spite of themselves because they have so much skill. But to me, they haven't looked like the team that won the President's Cup.
Well, you're probably right there. Even though I think there were times in the season that they looked exactly like they look right now. The problem is you expected when the playoffs came to see an upgrade in their play, and we just have not seen that yet. It's almost like Laviolette for many years has been kind of a don't worry about the regular season, worry about the playoffs. Well, it looks like that has crept into the first and second round of the playoffs. Don't worry about the first round. Don't worry about the second round. Get to the conference final. It does seem that way, and it's frustrating, I think, for Preds fans. I mean, going 3-3 on home ice in the playoffs after you worked so hard to get there has got to be incredibly frustrating for that team and for the fans. I mean, I think all of the fan base expected a lot more than that. I mean, just 500 at home is not going to cut it. I mean, most teams do better than that in the regular season. It's just you've got to be better than that on home ice.
Alex Doherty from On the Forecheck. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.